Hi, and welcome to the Tough Fish Show. I'm your host, Jen Milius, and I'm so glad that you're here. And before we get into the show, I've got a new resource for you if you are ready to take those next steps of visibility and sharing. The Author Stylist Guide is my new book that is your toolbox for the steps to make the most of speaking engagements, book signings, and podcast interviews when they arise, so you grow your readership and create a buzz around your catalog of work and message. And there are book bonuses too. Visit jennifermilius.com/books to get your copy of the book and sign up for the bonuses. And now let me introduce to you E. Danielle Butler. E. Danielle Butler is an accomplished interdisciplinary storyteller and author of 8 independently published books. She is a respected ghostwriter and collaborator committed to using words as catalyst for change and inspiration. Danielle's mission is to capture and create cultural movements through storytelling. Since 2018, Danielle has ghostwritten 13 books, including a collection of business e-books. As a speaker and workshop facilitator, Danielle shares on the topics of publishing, writing craft, and the creative process. She also leads discussions on diversity across industries. Beyond her professional achievements, Danielle is a wife to Brandon and mom to Zoe and Zachary. Let's dive into the pond and meet Danielle. Welcome to the Tough Fish Show. I am so excited to bring to you E. Danielle Butler. Danielle, thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh my gosh, Jen, thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I am thrilled you are here, and I would love for you to start with how did you get into writing?
How did I get into writing? Ooh, that feels like a loaded question. Everybody has like some aha moment, but I was recently thinking about this. I would like to give a shout out to Mr. B, Mr. Andrew Bumgardner. He was my pre-K teacher and he leaned into my stories and I found some writing, some little scribblings. And so I think that I became a writer then and it continued with me. My characters became my friends as I grew older. And then when I realized that writing was an actual, thing, I was writing for other people, like newsletters and updates and reports. Everybody doesn't do a good job writing their college papers. Somebody's got to do it, right? So I've been writing ever since. Probably high school and college really harnessed the love of writing and shaped them into what they have become this day.
I love that. I love that so much. But I love when something is planted early because you
Yes.
might not realize that until you've had a little bit more time to kind of look backwards and see that and then realize, oh, there's some more breadcrumbs here that. But
Exactly.
you don't always see that in the process.
I totally missed those breadcrumbs. I was hungry for a long time for no reason.
I can understand that because from my writing, I ended up, I would write here and there growing up. I liked writing. It was always a way of processing. But
Yeah.
then, it really started to take more shape, like you said, in high school and in college and graduate school and all that, and in corporate really too, because you're writing different with different voices, finding your own. And how does
Yes.
that show up in the papers you're turning in or in the thing you're doing for an email or a corporate presentation or your own creative writing? You're still finding your voice so that there's that continuity there.
Yes, I wholeheartedly agree with that. So, like elementary and those adolescent years, writing was very much a processing piece for me, right? Like, yes, there were characters that were my friends because I could tell them about the things that were going on, or I could work out and practice some dialogue or how I wanted to respond to something with those characters. And then it certainly has evolved to support corporate initiatives and all of those. So, yes, 100% agreed.
I love that. I love that you're saying, like, even practicing, because, that is a way that journaling can help. And sometimes, even when we're working on a scene that we're not sure of, if you view it as, well, let me just practice this out. Let me practice and see what these characters would say, or let me write out this particular, case study for this nonfiction. And how does it feel versus saying, well, it's so cemented, it has to be this way, versus saying, let me experiment with it and try and see and try this on. That might take some pressure off. What would you say to that?
Taking the pressure off is always the goal. I am a theater kid by nature. Again, Mr. B and my teachers just before him in preschool, it was all about being on the stage in theater. So later on, by the time I got to taking improv classes, in improv, you can't stop or you can't say no. It's always yes and. And I find that in writing, when we have these approaches, when we take a yes and approach, it does take the pressure off. And we are so much more creative. We're so much more open. And we have so much more to share that we discover when we are curious enough to say, yes, and this could be that. Yes, I wrote this, and it could be even better if I did it this way. Yes, these words are arranged this way. And if I flip them in this particular way, the outcome is going to be different. So, absolutely, I think that that curiosity, that yes and approach certainly takes the pressure off. You know, I like all writers struggle with writer's block. But if I say yes, you are blocked right now. And if you go do something different, the idea will come, right? If you yes and you go do something that has nothing to do with this that you've been procrastinating on for a really long time, you'll get beyond the block, I promise.
I totally agree. I have goosebumps. I totally agree with you. And I love the yes and approach. I really do, because it's shifting it to, well, what if this happens? Well, how about I try this? And it's giving yourself permission. And I think one thing that can come up sometimes in the writer's world, because it can feel so lonely in some cases, because it is you and the page or you and the computer coming up with that. And you know, I think that when you get help, whether you are maybe you need to, you're working on a manuscript and you're ready to open it up and get some feedback working with an editor or beta readers, maybe you know you have a story and you're not sure that you know how to tell it, but you need some coaching to get to that part where that's that message that is so important that you are the right person to share it. Then can come through on the page because you got some support and some help with that. And I think when you give yourself the permission to say, yes, I want to make this happen, and there are ways to do so because there's a village I can build that will be supportive to help me bring this to fruition because I will find the right people and we will be able to bring this to life in a beautiful way. And readers, the people I'm trying to touch will connect with this. I think that that's really important, that that really opens the aperture.
Yes, so there are two things that come to mind when I hear you share that, right? There's this, I don't know, I'm going to call it a trope that writers, we have to be, you know, these solitary, bitter, agonizing people hunched over our notebooks or a keyboard alone, right? Like we've got to be solitary doing these things in order for our writing to be great. But there's an old proverb that says it takes a village to raise a child. And I like to think of our writing as our babies, as our children, that we are trying to nurture them and shape them and mold them and steward them to be the best that they're going to be. And so I think that as writers, community is important. Having that village is absolutely necessary. I came across a quote in a magazine a few years back that totally changed my perspective on parenting, which I now apply to writing. And it is, I am not everything that my children need. So I, as a writer, am not everything that my work needs. Like my work needs an editor to come alongside sometimes. Sometimes I need a coach that's going to add some encouragement. Sometimes I need somebody, a beta reader, like you mentioned, that's going to come back and give me some really honest feedback about what the experience is. And it's through everyone's collective adding to the pot that this roux happens and it becomes something that's super savory, super satisfying for the readers. And I think community is a huge part of that in writing. We cannot write in silo. I mean, we can. It may not be any good because it's just us and our thoughts, right? Like it could. We could be that great where we write everything and nobody ever takes a look until we're ready to share it with the whole world. But I think that is so much better when we take our time and we bring along some other parts and some other pieces of the community to help us get there. Writing coaches, editors save my life on so many things, right? Like, editors save lives. To all of you editors out here, this is a love letter to you right now, a Fish Podcast. We love you. And we appreciate
That's so
you.
sweet. But one of the things that we talked about ahead of time and really is a part of that village is that thought partnership. Sometimes you need help getting that idea out. Sometimes you might be in your own way just to think, who are you to put this book out into the world? Whether it doesn't matter the genre, even, it just matters that you have this idea, you want to tell this story. And you feel a little like almost, who am I? Or how will I? And, we talked about a thought leader, a thought flow, basically, like really helping somebody come through that. And ghostwriting, I know, can also be supportive, which you do both of these. So, would you talk a little bit about how, to me, like they can come in and be a part of this village?
So I want to start with this thought partnership and coach piece, right? Because sometimes we just need someone that's going to look us in the face and say, get out of your own way, right? We all have those moments that we need someone to say, get over yourself, right? But we also need people that say, you can absolutely do this. Your story is meaningful, it is necessary. Now is a great time for that. And having someone that is going to push you along the fundamentals and say, all right, I'm telling you to get out of your own way, but here are some tools or some strategies or some exercises or some approaches that you can take to getting out of your own way. And so I think about that as the coaching relationship. Let me encourage you. Let me see when you're being a little less on yourself. When I know that you can go a bit harder, you can add more weights to that bar, right? You can go a little bit further, you can go a little bit faster. And so I think about that same approach to writing as a writing coach. You can do this, and yes, you have a great idea, and I encourage you to explore it from this lens, or have you considered it from that angle? And that's one of the beautiful things about thought partnership in writing is you don't have to have all of the answers. You don't have to have it figured out. You can say, you know what? I like that idea that you have. What would happen if?
I
I think
love
of
that.
that, yeah, like as an imagination partner, just opening it up, because sometimes we have blind spots that we're unaware of. Right. But someone who's watched us over and over again, or they're tracking us, they know when we're going to run out of air, we're going to run out of steam or encouragement. And so having that thought partner that's going to see those blind spots and say, no, we're not running out of air. We're going to do some exercises and build some endurance so that you can continue on this journey, I think is outstanding. And for someone to look at you and validate you with your idea, hey, this really is a meaningful and worthwhile idea to mine. Because what's interesting to me as a writer may not be interesting to someone else. And so then I get that little voice in my head that's like, well, who wants to listen to this? Is anybody going to read it? But the truth of the matter is, there is someone and something out there for everyone. There's a book for everyone, a story, an essay for everyone, just as unique as your idea is. There is an audience for it. There is a reader for it. And so sometimes that coach or that thought partner is coming in and just connecting the dots between you and your audience. It may just be that you're looking in the wrong place, right? If you have like some sort of edgy nonfiction expertise about, I don't know, being a lawyer. Lawyers don't all hang out at the same place as ball players, right? And so sometimes it's just adjusting where you show up, and your coach can say, I think that you should show up here or in this way, and it's going to reach your readers in a different way. And then ghostwriting. Oh, now you're like really tinkering with me. So ghostwriting is giving someone else's story voice, not taking credit for it. What I have found in my own career is that there are so many people with wonderful stories to tell, or significant amounts of knowledge and expertise, and they're just not writers. And that's okay. Like, you can still have a platform and a voice and a perspective and not be a writer. And that's where a ghostwriter comes in. It helps you to shape in the fundamentals and the mechanics of it and say, yes, this is what we're doing. This is how we're going to move this needle forward. We're going to lurch this story along. And having a ghostwriter sometimes says, right, I hear you saying this. I'm reflecting this back to you. Is this what you intended? Because sometimes we're having this dialogue internally. We say it out loud. We're tripping over our words or our thoughts. And we just need someone to hold up a mirror and say, hey, this is what I'm seeing and hearing. Is this what you're intending to share? And I think of ghostwriting as just that. It's a mirror.
I love all of this so much, and I love how you described that, because what I perceive you offer is when somebody, to your point, they may not be a writer, but they do have that story or the message. But the other part is that because when you're writing something that is about teaching, or you're trying to convey that message in a way that somebody else, a reader, is going to understand, you're also able to challenge the thought leader that you're working with by saying, you're having to teach me in order for me to teach your reader properly in this book. Is this message coming through? And if not, how can you help me better understand so I can better help your reader? So it really helps to strengthen the thought leader's ability to share. They might need to dig even deeper to say,
Yes.
well, I need some additional stories, or I need some new information, or because this conversation, you've given me more things to consider, and I'd like to make sure we go deeper on a particular topic, because this has showed me that there's more that needs to be done to help the person I'm trying to connect with. And so I love how you were describing that. How
I
does
love how you describe that. I'm actually
that?
going to be recycling that. If you guys hear this again, this is the first time that I'm going to give Jen credit after this. It's going to be my ideas. As a ghostwriter, this is what I do. So, Jen, this is your credit in this moment. Thank you for that additional language. So polished, so nice. This is why we need editors in our lives and community. This is your credit for it. You may never hear the credit again.
But to me, that is what I'm hearing,
Yes.
because to me, that is what I perceive of that. Because someone seeking a ghostwriter is looking for more support to be able to do something, and an editor is not looking to write the piece. The editor is looking for the piece to be written and to help you take it to that next level. But the editor is not looking to be your writer. This is a different role. Even if your editor is capable of doing that, it's not the same role that they're looking for. So it's a nice, hand-holding opportunity too there as well.
Absolutely. I think of it, the handholding is really great. I work with a lot of speakers or teachers, right? And the way that we say things, the way that we orate, doesn't always translate on the page. We don't have the inflection points, that can cross over. And so sometimes what's really engaging in a presentation setting falls flat on the page. And as a ghostwriter, my job is to prop those words back up, to bring it back to life so that as a reader, if I know your voice or if I don't know your voice, that I am still capable of getting the experience as though I was sitting with you, still having that range of emotions take place versus just reading and being like, Charlie Brown's teacher, womp, 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 womp. That is my goal, is to end the womps of the world.
I love that. I love that. And what I'm hearing you talk about, it's really going back further into, it's really getting clear about what your why is, that fundamental of what is your why? Why is this message important? Why is it important for the audience that you want to reach and connect with, whether it's fiction or nonfiction? You have this story, this message that you want to share. Why? Why does it matter? Why is it important? And I think that's at the crux of what you are doing, and then you're guiding them as to what's the best direction. Is that, am I close?
Yes, you've got it. You've got it. I'm going to add on one more why. Why
Please.
now?
Yes.
Why now, right? So why this story? Why is it happening? But most importantly, why now? Because there have been times that I've had to say to a writer, this is really, really excellent. But why now? Because it may better serve later, or it may not fit the context that the world is going in, like currently, right? You want it to be something that's going to be relevant. You want it to be something that's going to speak to the timing of it. And then the second thing that I'm going to add to your two whys is who are you to tell this story?
Yes.
Like, who are you to share this information? What's your why? Knowing your why and knowing your who I am as a writer, as a storyteller, as an author, and why am I telling this story? When we put those two together, oh, we've got writing magic. When we're clear on our answers to that, we're delivering something good, fiction or nonfiction. We are delivering when we know who we are and why we're doing it, why we're telling the story.
Yes, because you have to believe in what you're writing and putting forth the effort and the time to put that together. I mean, but the thing is that I think that sometimes writers can be a little bit in their heads about that. And to your point earlier, when we were talking about like taking a break and going away from it and then coming back and then reframing that and saying, okay, yes, I have this idea, and how might we work this out? Yes, I have this story and it's important to me, and I know why it's important to me, and filling in those blanks. But what would you tell the writer who is in their head a little bit about ghostwriting? Like, maybe this is a thought leader who is thinking, shouldn't I be the one who is actually doing this? And not necessarily the one who is flat out knowing they are trying to delegate. It's a different business model, but the business model where they're sitting there thinking that they should have been the author of it. They should be the actual writer per se. And they're kind of beating themselves up because they're not, versus taking the brakes off and saying, why not work with somebody who is an expert to be able to help you match subject matter expert to subject matter expert? What would you say to them?
That's exactly it. You nailed it. It's subject matter expert to subject matter expert. Your expertise as a business leader, as a thought leader, is in whatever your expertise is. If it is in textiles, right? You know textiles. You don't necessarily know the fundamentals and the mechanics of writing, nor do you have the time to go and learn the fundamentals and the mechanics of it. And so, just like you would hire someone on your team to handle the taxes and the finances, and you would bring someone onto your team to handle the HR, and you're going to bring someone on to handle sales. You can bring on a subject matter expert to help leverage this writing piece. The other piece of it is you're leading well, you're thinking, and you're having all of these outstanding thoughts. You really don't have the time to write. Like, if you are leading well, you are building these frameworks, you are creating these movements. If you're doing all of this work and all of your other responsibilities, you're being a great friend, you're being a great family member, you're connected to something in the community, you have children, you're involved in something else going on. Who has time to really sit down and crank out 50,000 words, right? Like, in 50,000 words, for context, for those of you that are not writers and you're probably, a leader, a standard, what is it, 200, a standard page with Times New Roman 11 or 12 font is about 250 words. That's a lot of pages. When you think about how much time you don't have to respond back to emails that come in every day, when you think about the number of things that are on your desk needing your signature, just your signature, forget the 50,000 words. Like, it makes sense, right? To empower someone else in their superpower, to empower you in yours, which is sharing your knowledge and sharing your expertise. So then you tap that superpower, that becomes your sidekick. You can operate in your expertise. You've got a sidekick here who is like really doing the work. It's very Batman and Robin-ish.
Oh my gosh, I love that so much. I love that so much. That's such a great Great analogy to that. That is so
That
fantastic.
just came up today. So if you see it in some content in the future, know that you were the impetus for this. Yes.
Awesome. That is awesome. But that's the beauty of that. When you're working, when you're in conversation, when you're working with people who you just click with and you have that peace, you are growing and you are supporting each other. And that's the joy of building that village, because then you are like, you're putting out more joy and you're creating that ripple effect because you are sharing. Yes, I love that shirt too. Stop
Stop
rescheduling
rescheduling joy.
joy.
Yeah,
Yes.
that's the message. Putting out more joy. That's the goal. That's the goal.
Yeah, I love that. I love that you wore that sweatshirt too. That is so awesome. I love that so much. When would somebody need to hire or need to work with a thought partner?
Ooh. There's so many ways that I think about that. Right now, content is king or queen, however you prefer to look at it. And everything moves at the speed of content. What's the next thing, the next headline, the next thought, the next this, the next that? And so I think about people having a thought leader even before they say it out loud, when they're ready to say it out loud, when they're thinking or tinkering with an idea and saying, I'm thinking I might want to share this with the world. Like, it's great to have an outside perspective, some additional support on that. I also think about people that are looking to expand their brands in some way. A thought partner can take one idea and stretch it in so many different directions that we're often oblivious to, right? If I'm a speaker, I just think about speaking. I think about what does my slide deck look like? How am I going to show up? Is my hair in place? How's my makeup look? You know, what's the venue? Do they have a green room for me? Am I going to have access to tea or water because I want to be able to share this beautiful presentation behind me and all of this? But a thought partner is probably looking at your beautiful presentation and being like, oh, we can split that into some additional content. We should tease that out and make that something for social media. This would be really great newsletter material. Oh my goodness, this was so fantastic that I was looking around the room and all the people nodding their heads. And I said to myself, this should be a book, right? And so now we've got all of that. The other piece is I was recently listening to Roxane Gay's masterclass, and she was just talking about like personal essays and cultural criticism. Sometimes we have such visceral responses to something that's happening in the real world, and we want to say something to it. We want to respond. And sometimes we need a thought partner to help us not necessarily taper that response, but to really shape that response and what its delivery is going to be like. So I work with a lot of leaders on that. This happened in the news today. Our knee-jerk reaction is, oh my gosh, this is terrible. Or this happened in the news today. And our knee-jerk response is, oh my gosh, this is so fantastic. And so picking a side and really supporting and sharing, why is this your side? Why is it relevant? Again, going back to that why, and thought partners assist with that.
I love that. That's a beautiful description. That is such a beautiful description because it shows the versatility and it shows that it doesn't really matter where you're coming into the process, because someone might initially think that, oh, well, I've already got the thoughts going on for my manuscript. I've been writing this and I don't need a ghostwriter because I'm writing this. Oh, but wait, you still might when you are trying to figure out how can you take this piece that you have written, this manuscript, and leverage it in multiple ways so that it is that you have supporting parts. You have a presentation that you can talk about. You have a, how might you talk about it in social? How might you do these other pieces? Do you have a follow-on book? Because sometimes when you've written one, you've got to go, I might see it, but I might not be ready to write it yet. And then you might lose sight of that depending upon where things were and what else was going on. But that thought partner can come into play and go, hey, wait a minute. There's some other things here. And it could be that I wrote this first book and that was great, but I need help with book two. I need a ghostwriter and I need a thought partner for book two or what have you. So what I hear is that there's so many different like entry points that you
Yes.
can, that it's, so it's not just, it's not on, no, there's no manuscript, or there's a partial manuscript, or what have you. There, it's really wherever you are in your journey and what you're trying to really maximize to that next level. How might this, a relationship like this, be of service?
That's the key. What are you trying to maximize on this journey, right? So I'm going to give you two like far end of the spectrum moments. I've worked with authors who, I have one in mind who had this great manuscript, right? Like it is, the manuscript is done here, all of my ideas. So my job is, I'm like, sure, I can come in and support you on this. So then it becomes about me asking questions. Could you tell me a little bit more about that? Or, I really enjoyed this nugget that you shared here. Are there other times that this happened that you can think of that match it, right? And then they go, oh, yeah, I hadn't even thought about that, right? So we're taking that work and just giving it a little more work and expanding it again, like getting to that word count or to whatever that delivery is. That's some thought leadership. Like, let's just kind of shape it, a thought partnership. Let's kind of massage it and see what else we can squeeze out of this. I've also worked with an author as a ghostwriter who sent me a 90-second voice note. Danielle, I was writing today. This was the idea I had. I'm sure I have a lot to say about it.
I love it.
Couple of points, 90 seconds. All right, let me know what you come up with. Oh, okay. Right. So then, as a ghostwriter, my job is to number one, turn those 90 seconds into some semblance of an outline. Right. But then also to go back through what their other content is. When that person said, I'm sure I have something to say about it, I'm sure you do too. But now I get to go and comb through your content and find, have you said something about this? Right. Or is this a fresh new idea? And then getting to do some additional research, because that's another benefit of having a ghost is, you don't really have time to do all the research to verify that it was sunny that day. Like, I have time to go back and look at your social media when you're outside talking about it and see that the sun was shining to add in that tidbit, right? And so I can take that 90 seconds, flesh it out into an outline, go grab some additional pieces of content and say, this is what I found of yours that supports this perspective. And here's some additional supporting resources where we can stretch this out and take this 90-second voice note. We could turn it into maybe a quick thought leadership piece on LinkedIn. Oh, by the way, let's go ahead and make it, expand it to become a full ebook, which is what we eventually did, was made it a full ebook after 90 seconds.
That's amazing. I love that so much. And this has been absolutely fantastic, Danielle. Where can people connect with you? And
Ooh.
where can they connect with you? Where can they get your books? Because I know you're an author also. So how can people be in your world?
Wow, Jen just called me out, guys, as being an author for myself. And I love that because I have a goal that I set on Friday. Like, I have to talk about my own books more, talk about the books that you wrote. All of my books are on Amazon. E. Danielle Butler is me. So I have a children's book series, The Adventures of Zoe and Zachary, which is based on my kids for life to just normalize children of color seeing themselves in everyday adventures. And then I also have a couple of devotionals and some titles that I've co-written with others. Finding me and connecting with me, I am on LinkedIn, E. Danielle Butler, and I am also on Instagram, E. dot Danielle Butler. Those are the best two ways. Oh, and my website is edaniellebutler.com, and I can be emailed at danielle@edaniellebutler.com. I'm trying to keep things simple and making my name synonymous with writing and ghostwriting and thought partnership.
I think you are doing quite well doing that because I
Thank
love
you so
that
much. I have the tough fish seal of approval.
Yes, you do, my dear. Yes, you
Thank
do. Thank you so much for being on the show, Danielle. This has been so much joy.
No, thank you for having me. I really appreciate you and the opportunity to share with your listeners.